Economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical course potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be views of Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Stan. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And, of course, Tom's back there in the very center of what's going on back there in Virginia and Washington, D.C., and certainly trying to educate the American people about the so many issues that are going on today, which are destined to change the world in which we live in. The financial crisis we're in today, when we come out of this, we will one day recover, but we will not recover in the same world that we had before. That's for certain. And, of course, the world is changing. It's changing dramatically. And the real question is, what sort of world will we be leaving for our children when, of course, this is all over? Tom, why don't you pick up the story there and tell us about the things that you think are important, what the American Policy Center is doing. Are we having an impact on the American people? Are some of them beginning to realize the terrible situation we're in?
Well, I do think that people are beginning to wake up. I think the sleeping giant is there, not enough yet, but I think that is changing. As government becomes more and more intrusive, as this administration becomes more and more radical, I think people are beginning to see it. I think even liberals who were expecting Obama to do things, and they're seeing how he's turning his back on a lot of the so-called change promises that he made, because it's big politics as usual. But today there was a hearing on Capitol Hill on a vitally important issue, the PASS Act, which I'm sure you've heard about.
But I think you better tell our listeners what the PASS Act is.
Well, first of all, in 2005, the Congress passed the Real ID Act. And this was supposedly was sold as an answer to terrorism and illegal immigration, as a means to make our driver's licenses uniform and so that we knew who had that driver's license, that they were American citizens or here legally. That was the dream. That was what was sold. In reality, it was the creation of an international ID full of biometrics and RFID chips, and being able to begin the creating of a surveillance society through the Department of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act, and on and on. It became so unpopular that more than 20 states have refused to implement it, and in fact, or to comply to it, and in fact, at this moment, not a single state has complied to it. And so, you know, the promoters of this saw that this wasn't working. We had, you know, we'd gotten the jump on them, and you know, so they were concerned that this wasn't going to be done. So they said, well, we're going to repeal Real ID, and we're going to create a new bill that is not as intrusive, it doesn't have all the objections to it, and that's the PASS Act. It's S-1261. And they held a hearing today. The hearing really was supposed to reevaluate Real ID. And when you have a hearing to reevaluate something, then there's no urgency for new legislation. You're just supposed to be talking about what already exists. Well, that isn't what happened in the hearing today. They of course talked about the PASS Act and the urgency to pass it.
And because basically, They use the threat of immigration to justify this, but they refuse to pass and enact the laws, of course, that would guard our borders. They've specifically prevented the border guards from actually doing what they were supposed to do. They've blocked the building of a fence. And they use the fact that we have, you know, between 12 and 30 million illegal immigrants in this country to justify, well, then every law-abiding citizen is going to have to have an ID card. But then what happens, of course, if they let them get by with all these other cards that they have? And there are so many things. They create the problem, but the solution always involves taking the freedom away from the law-abiding citizens. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. Tom is back there in Washington, D.C., and he keeps us abreast of what's really going on in Washington, D.C. And while our attention is focused on the Sotomayor hearings, you know, and of course, why does anybody want to watch him? You know, she's not going to tell the truth. I mean, the one reason she's not fit to be a Supreme Court justice is because she believes we should rely on international law. Why would anybody who is going on to a Supreme Court to uphold our Constitution want to bring our laws in line with international law? And it's very, very simple. She doesn't believe in the Constitution. But does anybody honestly believe that she is going to say that during the hearing? This is all, of course, smoke and mirrors to keep our attention focused on unimportant issues. But Tom was telling us that just today they had hearings on the PASS Act, P-A-S-S Act. And this is really, of course, this ID card that they want us all to pass. They passed the legislation some years ago for the national ID card, and 20 states said, we're not going to go along with that. So, you know, of course, basically there's only a few people who really want a dictatorship. They backed away. But these people never sleep. Somebody once said, freedom never closed thine eyes in slumber because thy enemies never sleep. And they're back again now with the PASS Act. And today, while all of our attention is focused on Sotomayor, why are there hearings on the PASS Act? So tell us what happened, Tom.
Well, this act, first of all, they didn't allow a single person to testify against the bill. We have people in our organization and our allies that we work with, particularly the Real ID, the Stop Real ID Coalition, and its chairman, Mark Lerner, who is a walking, talking expert on this and the whole issue. We have been begging to get them to let him testify. He was in the room today. They wouldn't let him testify. They wouldn't let him. Nobody who spoke today was opposed to this bill. And, you know, that's just the typical way they do things. We're continuing to put pressure on to members of the committee to let Mark Lerner testify, but we'll see what happens with that. But this bill, as I said, is being sold as healing Real ID, which, you know, we would say, yeah, great, terrific, but it's worse. All it does is replace it. It doesn't supplement it. It makes it worse. It continues to contain the requirements for a digital facial image, and biometrics, and databases, and RFID chips. There are two international agencies, the UN's International...
Hold that thought, Tom. We'll be back here in just a moment. Bring our other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Tom DeWeese. We're talking about the PASS Act, and apparently, of course, it's going to repeal the old ID Act, National ID Act, and it's even worse. It's going to require facial images on there. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what is happening here in the United States as far as issuing ID cards is happening all over the world. India is in the process of issuing ID cards to 1.2 billion people. We hear about the GPS localizer. Oh, my goodness, they're going to get the coordinates of your home, and they're going to have this on file someplace and know exactly where you're living. This is a worldwide process. This isn't just in the United States. We focus on what's going on here, and we should focus on what's going on here. But all of these ideas originate here, and then they are being carried out throughout the entire entire world. But tell us about what they intend here in the United States. They want, well, they want our picture, but they've been collecting our pictures from the Department of Motor Vehicles. All you have to do is watch your favorite detective program, the facial ID, computer recognition that they have, and they're actually able to go through all these pictures because they've got your picture. If you've ever had your picture taken for a driver's license, they've all been collected, or most have been collected, and being put there so they can identify anybody at any time, any place in the world. But go right ahead, Tom.
Yeah, if your photo on your driver's license has a light blue background on it, then you have had your photograph digitally coded. They take your picture. You've heard these stories about how they don't want you to smile for your photo at the DMV. It's not because they want a dour nation just staring back at you. It's because when you smile, you can distort your face. And what they want you to do is, what they'll do is they'll take the photograph and they literally create a digital code so that that's what goes in the file. Then, with those, that's a, you know, the biometric record there, using these closed-circuit TV cameras that we have everywhere, and Department of Homeland Security has spent millions of dollars to invest in that and the technology. You've got cameras all over the world, and they're working to integrate all those together. Literally, they can get a shot of you on one of those cameras. They can shoot it into the data bank, to the digital code that you have, and they can tell it's you, and they can tell where you are at any time. And this is one of the major things that we're concerned about. Through the Real ID, and now if the PATH Act is enacted, the those photographs and those records have to comply with international databanks and international rules. The UN's International Civil Aviation Organization and the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, which sounds like, well, that's an American organization. Both of them are international organizations. Both of them are the ones who the Department of Homeland Security is using to create compliance, create regulations to make these driver's licenses internationally compliant. And all of this is in the PATH Act. And, you know, this is worse because they have cleared up some of the things they forgot to put in the Real ID, and they put it in the PATH Act. And they are on an absolute skidded sliding board here to get this thing going on a fast track. It was introduced only a couple of weeks ago. Already they're holding hearings, and they actually had planned to bring it to the floor as early as July 6th. And we have made such an uproar, organizations across the country, that we have delayed them. Now here we are, you know, a week and a half or so later. They still haven't brought it, but they did have a hearing today.
But, of course, what they want to do is get your attention focused on the Sotomayor hearings, which really have absolutely no significance because, of course, she's going to get in anyway. And, of course, they're not going to ask her the really important questions. But that is a wonderful diversion, of course, as they – it's like the sleight of hand specialist. He gets you looking at one hand while the other hand's doing all the bad things. It's a diversion. And this is really what it's all about. There is a move towards a world dictatorship, towards a world cashless society, whether you'll never be – you'll neither be allowed to buy or sell, and there's, of course, you have the identification characters. They're going to be able to track everybody in the world. Every home is being identified by GPS. Everyone is going to have an identification card, and, of course, they will have your thumbprint. They will have your information on your DNA. They will have your picture there, readily recognizable by computer. Computers are wonderful. In fact, this tragedy happened in Florida, close to Pensacola, where, of course, this two people who had a number of children were shot. But now we're finding out, of course, that they were able to go into Walmart and look at their cameras, and they could actually see these people buying their ninja suits. How did they know who the people were? Of course, they had surveillance there. Maybe that's how they got them. But then they were able to track all of their other activities, even going into Walmart to see them buying their ninja suits. And you say, well, that's wonderful. Boy, we're really going to be able to bet the bad guys that way. What happens if there are evil people who want to control the world and want to suppress all opposition? Could this be used for evil as well as good? And that's, I think, the question we have to ask. Suddenly, Tom, they're going to say, well, look at all the good this is going to do. If we can just, we're able to identify people. That way people aren't going to be able to escape after committing a crime. But, of course, could this be a crime against the state that they would come after people? Would they try to silence opposition?
Well, that's exactly the point. And, you know, what is illegal is, relevant to who's in charge. And, first of all, one of the things that they're working to create now through the Department of Homeland Security, using all this other technology we just talked about, they've got a new thing that they used to call Project Hostile Intent. Now they've changed the name of it to Future Attribute Screening Technologies, or FAST, FAST. What FAST is a computer program or software program that will assess whether you are a threat or not based on how you behave, how you walk, how you dress, and other factors, and they are even looking into getting monitors that or sensors that can monitor our sweat. And what this means is that, of course, they're saying, well, if you're in the airport and a terrorist is there and he's planning something evil, then he's going to be sweating and he may have a certain look on his face, or, that's how they sell it. The fact of the matter is, with that digital photograph of you, you could be walking down the streets of, say, London, and a camera picks up you're picked up on the camera, the way you're walking, the way you're acting, the way you're sweating, creates suspicion. They can then confront you on the street, maybe retain you, maybe put you in jail, maybe, who knows what they do to you. And what this really boils down to is there's two kinds of control. There is the direct control, like with the driver's licenses and knowing where you go and so forth, and there's indirect control or intimidation. And if you've got people who are afraid to do anything, maybe even afraid to go to a Tea Party rally because they're being observed, because this kind of thing may get into their records, then you have begun to control the population and you have begun to intimidate people into not acting. This is, I believe, where this is headed, because then, when all of this stuff is in place, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Napolitano, said that she was no longer going to use the terms terrorism or terrorist. These are man-caused disasters. However, if you look at the Department of Homeland Security report on right-wing extremism, and you look at the MEAC report out of Missouri, and others that have come out, they don't hesitate to use the word terrorist in there when they're talking about us. What we're concerned about is that with this kind of technology, that we are the ones who are targeted, people who voted for Ron Paul, people who believe in the Constitution and say so, people who are opposed to abortion, people who are opposed to illegal immigration, all of these things are specifically listed in these DHS reports as being suspicious and threats to the security of this country. And you may find that with all of this technology that can mark where you are, find where you are, you may be shut out of society, you may be not able to get health care because of your political beliefs, and we believe that that's where this is going.
Well, of course, anybody who's ever studied this and looked into it realizes that everything is done to deceive the American people. Now, what Tom is talking about, you can find up on the Internet, this report that came out of the Office of Homeland Security. But heavens, we know, I think it was certainly before Y2K, I think 1998, 1999, when they had this report that came out of the Phoenix Anti-Terrorism Task Force. It was distributed by the FBI to all of the police force, and how you could identify a terrorist. They talked about Christianity. They thought that maybe the end of the world was coming. They even talked about the Constitution. The Constitution. And then, of course, they identify the Christian Identity Movement, which was actually being funded by the government. In other words, they were funding the Christian Identity Movement while they were naming them as one of the major terrorist threats to the United States. What's wrong with this scenario? Well, there really are people out there who have a different worldview, who really do want a one-world government and a cashless society where they can simply shut out anybody who doesn't want to go along and everybody lives in terror. And people say, that could never happen in America. And what do you mean it couldn't happen in America? Now we hear the talk about, you know, certainly, oh my goodness, you know, why George Bush was actually having them listen to some people, you know, without warrants. You know, why they were tapping telephones without warrants. What a terrible thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been going on at Project Echelon for the last 30 years or more. Go up on the Internet. Don't take what I say. Go up and look up Project Echelon on Wikipedia, on the articles about it. Read James Bovard's book about that. They listen to all of your telephone conversations and read all of your emails and all of your facts by computer, and they're all on file, everything you've ever said, in anger or maybe even in jest, because they don't have a sense of humor. Tom, you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Okay. Well, I have in my hand a copy of the Department of Homeland Security's Domestic Extremism Lexicon. And this is the official definitions that they're using, who are extremists. And I think it's interesting because it says at the beginning, the DHS analysis that addresses the nature and scope of the threat that domestic non-Islamic extremism poses to the United States. And they go on, they talk about groups that are above ground who overtly portray themselves as law-abiding. I love how they say that. The alternative media, well, we're on it, you know, and the Internet and all that. Anti-immigration extremism, they're talking about the Minutemen. You know, the direct action, they're talking about the Patriot, the Tea Parties and so forth. And I love this one. Here is the definition out of this official report on the Patriot movement. It says, a term used by right-wing extremists to link their beliefs to those commonly associated with the American Revolution. The Patriot Movement primarily comprises violent anti-government groups such as militias and sovereign citizens. That's us. And there's nothing, I've never committed an act of violence in my life. I've never advocated an act of violence in my life. You know, these things are all designed to, any, if you read this thing, if you go through these reports, what you see is that everybody in this country who has a thought, who has a belief, who has an idea and expresses it, who is not just a couch potato who's watching what Oprah did today, they're the only people who aren't a threat, those people. We, anybody who thinks anything, is a threat to this government. This is not a threat to the nation that we grew up in. This is a threat to a totalitarian nation that knows what it's doing is wrong and it's got to keep its people under control. That's what this is all about.
And I think that's very well said, Tom. The difficulty is, how do we get the average American to recognize what is really going on? People don't like to hear this sort of thing. They don't like to think that maybe the world that we've known is gone forever, that there really are people living in the United States who hate freedom, who hate the Constitution, who hate the idea that some people want to be free because they want to control everything and everybody and every possible aspect of our lives.
Well, as I said at the beginning, I think that a sleeping giant is awakening. You know, we talked about these things for so many years, you much longer than I have on a lot of these issues, and you know, a lot of people calling us crazy and of course, extremists. They've used that many times. But I find my job getting easier because instead of people saying, oh, that's crazy, they're saying, tell me more. The more things touch people, the more inclined they are to listen, the more they're affected by it. And what in the past, it's been difficult to show how they were affected by it. You had certain pockets of people. In the property rights issue, you had the farmers and the ranchers out in the West, but that was a little pocket of people. In the cities, nobody was touched by, you know, these land grabs and so forth. The same thing is true about surveillance. You know, people weren't feeling it. Now they're beginning to feel all these things. They've seen the economy collapse just as it was predicted. They have seen their dollar and their jobs and everything else going away. Now they're ready to listen, and I'm hoping that we can continue to motivate them. They told us that we
hold that thought. Hold that, Tom. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Tom DeWeese. Tom was simply going into this office, Homeland Security, report that they put out that basically said how you could identify the domestic terrorists. And, of course, they were people who talked about Christianity, talked about the Constitution, people who objected to illegal immigration, people who espoused the concern about life issues. That's how you could identify these terrorists. And they want them being watched, and believe me, they are watching. They are watching what everybody in this country does, and we're moving from a free society to a fascist society in the name of course, defeating the wicked Islamic terrorists who want to take away our freedom, and that man over there in a cave hiding somewhere in Pakistan, Osama bin Laden, is going to get us unless, of course, we give the government the ability to put a video camera on every corner of every street, certainly on our highways, unless, of course, we can listen to every telephone call and read every email, because after all, Osama bin Laden may be planning to take away our freedom. And certainly Tom is saying that he is encouraged because more and more people see what's going on and they know something's wrong. And especially now as we see this whole financial system collapsing around us, and we're talking about well over certainly 15 million people unemployed, another 9 million people underemployed, and people are losing their homes. They know something's wrong, but they can't connect all of the dots. What does this have to do with, you know, taking away our freedom and monitoring the people and watching us with satellites from the sky, that those satellites we built so we could watch the wicked communists, and now they got them flying over America, watching the American people. It's almost as if we're all like the character in that Will Smith movie, Enemies of the State, except this would be everybody is a potential enemy, because you might have a thought that would be against what's going on and the leadership in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, in the positive side of things, they told us we couldn't stop Real ID and the implementation of that. We effectively did. They've told us that we can't stop the PASS Act, but so far we are. Those are encouraging things. What we're doing is we are in contact and in contacting more and more state legislators every day. We believe that the real fight is in the state legislatures. If the sovereignty movement, the 10th Amendment support movement that is growing, more and more legislators are being recruited into that, understanding what that's about. You can make an awful lot of dictates from the federal government irrelevant if the states refuse to comply. That's what's happened with Real ID. And we're now working with state legislators, organizing a kind of a loose communications network where sometimes, for example, some of the legislators wanted to stop Real ID in their state and they put legislation up. Actually, the language they had in it was worse. They fell in a trap. You have to know, the pitfalls and what to watch for. We're beginning to teach them what those traps are. We're beginning to provide language for them, and that is beginning to grow. And so this is a movement that I think is vitally important, and a lot of encouragement there. And again, I see the Tea Parties with people standing up and saying they're opposed to what's going on. This is an encouraging thing. What we need to do is put all this force together into an effective effort, and I think we can begin to turn things around because they've come so far and they're so arrogant in what they're doing that they're showing themselves much worse than they ever did before, and people are able to look at it and say, what? And I think that's a very good thing.
Well, I think it is, too, and I would just tell our listeners out there that there are a lot of organizations out there that supposedly are representing the conservative Christian point of view and don't trust them. But I've known Tom for a number of years. He's doing a great job. He's dedicated his life to the same battle that we're dedicated to. And he's back there coordinating with other groups there, and I'm sure he knows who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. But certainly what we need to do is, Chris, join hands together with responsible groups and to bring pressure on our congressmen. Now, they're going to get a lot of pressure from their superiors, but most congressmen, and I'd said this before, but I believe this with all my heart, most congressmen are not dedicated to the right or to the left. They're simply dedicated to getting reelected. And they're under tremendous pressure from above, the people who hold the purse strings for the Republican and Democratic Party, to go along with the official party line. But when they know enough of their constituents are angry with them, they are afraid to vote against the bad issues. And we've seen this happen time and time again. And on a number of key issues, the immigration bill last year, why the American people were able to so flood the congressional switchboard that the congressman backed down and did what was right. We lost the one on the TARP legislation, but they threw in $150 billion of bribes for the congressman to get that $700 billion to give to Wall Street and the Wall Street banks. But, you know, we keep the pressure up. We erode their plan a little, we delay it, and we preserve freedom. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center. And, of course, I never get tired of hearing Kate Smith sing God Bless America. We used to sing it all the time, and apparently once in a while at football games we do, but in most places, most programs, we very, very seldom see this. Perhaps on the 4th of July programs that they put on back in Boston or in one of the other 4th of July programs, but we need to think of that all the time. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Tom DeWeese. Our telephone number, if you have a question for Tom, because he's right back there in the very belly of this beast and knows a lot more about this than I do. Our telephone number, if you have a question for Tom, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but 464-8295. But before we go on, Tom, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the American Policy Center and keep abreast of what you and your group are doing.
Our website is AmericanPolicy.org, and on that site, AmericanPolicy.org, we have lots of articles, almost a 15-year archive of articles on there on property rights and privacy rights and UN and legal immigration and all education. And we also have an action alert system called Sledgehammer, which we put out by email. It's free. Whenever something hot is happening on Capitol Hill, we had one out on this PASS Act this last week. It tells you what the issue is, who to call, what to say. Here's the numbers. You can sign up for that on the website. And my newsletter, the DeWeese Report, which comes out every month on these issues, is now available online. And you can sign up for that on the website. So it's AmericanPolicy.org. You can check everything out about us. We're all right. Everything you need to know about us is there. And join us. I hope you do.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Jeannie calling from Aptos. Hi, Jeannie. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, did you mention when they take your driver's license picture that they ask you to take your glasses off? Did you mention that?
I didn't mention the glasses. I mentioned don't smile, but that would be the same reason.
Right. And yeah. I had my picture taken last September, and the reason they said to take your glasses off because it does create a glare. Basically, they're looking for facial recognition of all the features.
Yeah.
So I found that very interesting.
Yeah. Again, as I said, they're taking your face. And they're literally using a numeric equation. They put it into a digital code. Mm-hmm. So your face is no longer your face. It's a number.
And, yeah, so anyone that wears glasses that is listening, if you go for your driver's license, they will ask you to take your glasses off. So beware of that.
And don't you dare smile, because we don't want smiling people.
You know, I just did a little smile, but I didn't open my mouth. So
that's all right, isn't it?
I didn't open my mouth, Dr. Stan.
What's there to smile about anyway?
Well, you have a little smile there. It'll make them harder to identify you. But ladies and gentlemen, they really do want to identify not everybody in this country, everybody in the entire world. This is going on worldwide. I just read this morning in India, 1.2 billion people are going to be issued these identification cards. They probably won't be quite as elaborate as ours to begin with, but down the line they will be. Because everybody, every home, every cave, every hut in the whole world is being marked by GPS. And people say, why would they want to do that? Well, of course, it's all about control. And when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Jeannie, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Yes. In Central America, they have lines for this new smart card and driver's license, like 2 blocks line. And the local people think, hey, this is great. It's like sliced bread.
Right.
There's one other thing I want to mention, Tom. You mentioned about right-wing extremists. And there was a book written by Eugenia Ginsburg, and the title was Journey into the Whirlwind. And she was actually a devoted communist under Stalin. But they arrested her for being a right-wing extremist. So it's the same old game.
Sure. They use these terms. Did you ever hear about a left-wing extremist? I wonder why they're only right-wing extremists but never left-wing extremists.
We'll have to start using that term, Dr. Stan.
I've been using it for years.
Okay, fine then. Thanks. Anything else, Jeannie?
That's it.
All right, bye-bye. And, of course, Tom, certainly what we have to do, and I think it's so important for our listeners to get your material and to stay abreast of what's going on, and you have the regular email alerts that you send out?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You have a regular email alert that you send out.
Yeah, well, the sledgehammer alert that we send out when something's happening. We don't send it out. We don't pile it into your email box just to send stuff out. We will send it out whenever something hot is happening. The other thing I wanted to mention, if I may, is the conference we have coming up, the Freedom 21 conference. It's the 10th annual, and this is Oklahoma City, August 13th to 15th. And this year. I'm so excited about this year. We've got an incredible lineup of speakers. We've got G. Edward Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. We've got Bob Schultz from the We the People Foundation. Pastor Chuck Baldwin will be there. And just a whole slew of people. We talk about all these issues. We're going to have one of the most comprehensive discussions on real ID and biometrics and that whole surveillance society stuff, sustainable development, property rights, all those issues are going to be discussed at the conference, education. And you can find out more about it at the at our website, which is freedom21.org. That's 2-1, the numbers, 2-1, freedom21.org. Look at the program. You can sign up for it right there. It's the cheapest conference in America. I've made sure that it is. And we've got all kinds of plans. We have the diet plan. That's the one with no food.
All right, fine. What are the dates you get on that?
It's August 13th to 15th.
And it's, I've been there in the past. Excellent, excellent programs. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Right now, we've got Rick calling in from Texas. Hi, Rick. What part of Texas are you calling from?
From the northeast part.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I had a comment about the driver's licenses and them taking the facial recognition and digitizing it. And what I did is I grew a full beard, I mean, with the corners and everything. And, you know, I think that'll help because I look completely different with a full beard than I do without a beard.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but believe me, they're going to have other means. We're not going to be able to outsmart them because they got the power and they got the guns. But, of course, we've got right on our side. These people hate the Constitution, but they've sworn to uphold it. And what we need to do is let people understand there really are people who already have the same motive as the people did in Hitler's Germany, because the same spiritual forces that pervaded the Nazi movement, that was the occult movement, is alive and well right here in the United States today. And the occult movement is simply sweeping through our churches and sweeping through our organizations. And you go into the Christian bookstores, you can buy all these occult books. They call it, you know, a New Age. Well, it's not. And even many of our Christian news magazines carry advertisements for it. So, anyway, I hope you got a good picture with your full beard. But that's not going to protect you. It's not going to protect our people, especially our ladies out there who can't grow a full beard.
Of course, if you're Muslim, you can wear a burqa.
Right.
But you know, you're absolutely right, Stan. And I know that people are trying to defend themselves and protect their liberty and their secrecy, their privacy, or not secrecy, but their privacy, and they have a perfect right to do that, but you're right. If this stuff is put in place, that's not going to stop them. They may come and say, you got to shave because, you know, we need this way. The only way to stop this is to stop it. And the only way for that to happen is for the American people to rise up everywhere and say no. If this stuff is put in place, you have to make a very personal, very courageous decision, and I'm thinking about this for myself and wondering if I'll have the courage to do it, but I think we have to, is to go in and say, no, I will not give you my fingerprints, I will not let you take a retinal scan, I will not let you take this information, and I'll forego having a driver's license if that's what's going to happen. People have got to stand up in the DMVs and say no, and that's a very courageous, a very scary thing to do, and there's not a whole lot of people that have the nerve to do it, but we'll see. That's what's going to happen if they pass this stuff.
Well, of course, we saw, though, what happened with the original ID card legislation. When the state legislature said, we're not going to go along with it, why the authorities backed down? When the authorities wanted to have vaccination, smallpox vaccination, you know, of all the first responders in the medical profession, and they just said, we're not going to do it. And you know what they did? They backed down. They fear the people, and they've got a good reason to fear the people if the people have the courage
that
to stand up.
That is a key fact, Stan. That is absolutely true. And we've got to keep that in mind. So many on our side are ready to give up and think it's over and so forth. We've just begun because, as I said earlier, this stuff is just really being noticed by mainstream Americans. And know, those of us who have been fighting in the trenches for years don't feel like we've been there a long time. But to them, it's all brand new, and they are rising up. And we've got to take some joy in that and some solace in it.
And really the most exciting thing is the young people of both conservative and liberal who are following in Ron Paul's footsteps are concerned about freedom. The Ron Paul movement's one of the most exciting things I've seen, spontaneous things, you know, in the 47 years I've been involved.
Let me tell you something about that.
Okay.
It's interesting. When I was privileged to be invited to go to Jekyll Island with G. Edward Griffin back in May, and Bob Schultz. They did kind of a reenactment of that train ride, the secret train ride down there, and so forth. And then we had a meeting to bring organizations together and begin to build a movement. And there were like 30 of us that spoke over 2 days. And the last person to speak was a young lady named Catherine Blesch. She's 25 years old. She's been an activist for like a year and a half. She said she's an old hippie, you know, that she didn't know anything about this stuff. When she learned it, she absorbed it like a sponge. And I thought, what a shame that they're taking this poor girl last after we've been here for 2 days. Everybody's tired. She walked up to the microphone and blew the paint off the walls. The enthusiasm, the power behind her. And, you know, she's got a tattoo in her arm that says, question everything. And, you know, these are the kind of young people that are coming up who have not been involved in politics before. Ron Paul's brought them in, and you're right. This is the most exciting thing that's happened in a very long time.
We live in exciting times. Rick, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
It's going to take discernment, though.
It is, and, well, that's why you listen to Radio Liberty. God bless it. Thanks so much. Let's go to June, calling in from Carmel, California. Beautiful Carmel, just south of where I live on the north shore of Monterey Bay. Our telephone again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest, Tom DeWeese, and June, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment, Dr. Sin. I was several weeks ago just out in my front yard getting some sun, and I saw this lady walking up the road, and she was going right up to the doors of every house, and it looked like she was taking a picture, and I couldn't figure it out. She was staying around for a while and all that. So I saw her go up one side of the street, and then I went in the house, and we live on a very low ranch, and our windows are right level with people that walk by our sidewalk. And all of a sudden, she pulled up to the sidewalk, and she was one of those people with the GPS taking the pictures of the front door.
Right. But the nice thing is that they're not just discriminating against Americans. They're doing this all over the world. But they're not telling the American people. No, the census doesn't start until next year.
We could not believe it. And then she peered in and asked my husband what his P.O. box was and if he wouldn't mind giving his name. And he said, absolutely, I would. You don't need to know that. And she really was kind of gruff about it. And she walked away. So I don't know if we're on their list now. But I couldn't believe this was happening right in Carmel because we had heard on your program that that's what they were going to do. So don't let anybody be fooled out there. It's true. Up within 2 feet of our front door.
Well, the thing is that, you know, these are just people. They're trying to have a job. You know, I don't fault them for what they're doing.
No.
They don't understand what this is about. But once the American people really understand that there truly are evil and wicked people out there at the highest levels of our government, see, the census is every 10 years. That should be next year. Why are they starting this year? Very simply because they're on a timetable and they know that the people are beginning to wake up and they are beginning to work very, very quickly trying to consolidate their control. And our job is to make their lives just as miserable as possible. They can yell all they want to about terrorism, right-wing terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the terrorists. These are people who are terrorized at the thought of freedom.
Yeah. And, you know, people don't have a clue because our daughter is a lead supervisor at the Denver Police Department in charge of dispatching. She teaches them. And I mentioned it to her, and I said, don't you think this is strange about the privacy and all that? We don't have the opening to talk about what we... you know, truly believe with her all the way. But anyway, it was just like everything was just fine. Don't worry about it. They're not invading anybody's privacy. And people have their heads in the sand.
What you really, need to do is get my DVD on the planned police state, the syllabus that goes with that, or just one of our recent newsletters that just listed all the things that they're doing, from their ability to listen to your telephone conversations, now to track you with your cell phone even when it's turned off, and to listen to your conversations with the special special software that they install in the cell phones, so they can listen to your conversation when it's off. When people begin to understand that. But be very gentle with your daughter. Just try to point these things out. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not going to want to believe this, that she probably believes she's doing just what she should do, that, that the people in positions of power are good. One of these days she's going to wake up and realize that her dream is really a nightmare.
We know what we did. We ordered the series from Billy Crone, and some part of it was on the tech and what's coming and all of that, and they were fascinating, by the way. They were absolutely awesome, and we're going to put little messages inside in case anything happens.
Well, let's hope you can get her to watch that. Anyway, God bless, and thanks very much for calling, June.
Okay.
All right, fine. Of course, we've got time for one more call. If you're out there, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. A lot of people have this idea, well, I don't want to hear anything bad. You know, things are really pretty good, and it's only a little while before you know, we get out of this recession, we get back to the life we knew before. And ladies and gentlemen, the life we knew before is not coming back. It's going to be a different life. I don't know what sort of life it's going to, world is going to be, but even Robert Rice is certainly one of the brightest people in America, former Secretary of Labor, you know, was on the Obama and Clinton transition teams, but he wrote an article in this last week that said, you know, this certainly recession is not going to end. It's not going to end and come back again. When the new society comes, it's going to be an entirely different one, and I think he's absolutely right. What we want to do is direct what that society is and make sure it's one that preserves freedom. Tom, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's true, and you know, we're doing everything we can to alert people and to get them active. They've got to be aware, and this is the one thing that people who say, I didn't know anything about that. Well, they ask me all the time where I get my information. Read the paper.
I know, well, because there are all sorts of organizations back there in Washington, D.C., made up of people who really, of course, are concerned. And, of course, Tom is on the front lines, and fortunately, hopefully, he'll be with us every month to bring you abreast of what's happening. Well, Tom, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Let me add one more thing to our problems here. This is just Henry Lamb just put out a new article about the government's efforts, a new way to tax us, and it goes along with what we're talking about here. They've got a $16 million grant from the federal government. The University of Iowa is developing a global positioning satellite system that can measure the mileage, apply a variable tax rate that will increase during rush hours in high traffic areas. In other words, they will tax you by how much you drive your car. And they've got about 2,700 cars right now in the test, and this is the next thing that they want to do. So, again, these GPS things and more global surveillance, and instead of just taxing you at the pump, they're going to tax you by how many miles you drive. This, again, is sustainable development, which is the tyranny that's over all of us. I mean, people don't realize, they think sustainable development is only about conservation. It is the blueprint for the complete transformation of our society, and it's behind all these things that we're talking about, and you've got to learn what that is.
And of course, I think it's so funny, you know, that most people really, of course, will never look at a gift horse in the mouth. They're talking about giving us $4,500 to get rid of our old gas guzzlers and buy another new car. And isn't that wonderful? They're going to give us $4,500, you know, for our old cars. Why is that? Is it because they want to get the gas guzzlers off the road? Or is it because they want us to buy a new car with a GPS localizer in it so they'll know exactly wherever they are? And nobody ever even sort of thinks about that sort of thing. But all the new cars have all these fancy computer gadgets in them, which you don't find in the old cars. I believe that is why they really want to get them off the road. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and Henry goes on to say here that the new GM, which he calls Government Motors, can install this new system in all of its vehicles right now. So here we come. This is a new way to be taxed. It's a new way for control. And if you make the cars too expensive to drive, then you'll stop driving them. And that's what they want. And they talk about getting you out of your car to protect the environment. What they really want to do is get you out of your car to protect your to restrict your mobility and keep you in your communities so you don't travel. That's what it's really about. I know that because I've read their documents. I've read what they've had to say about these things. People think that's crazy, but that's exactly what where they're moving with it.
And that's all called the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report put out at Cambridge University, and the average person has never heard of it. Our guest has been Tom DeWeese, certainly one of the champions of what's going on and a wonderful source of information. Tom, thanks so much for being with us. I hope we can get you here on the third Friday of the third Wednesday of next month as well.
I'll be there. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and certainly you have to understand everything going on is planned. They want to get you into a smaller car. Read the newspapers. They're saying, we want General Motors to begin building small cars. That's what people really want. People don't want these big gas guzzlers. Well, people buy the gas guzzlers. They were the best cars that the General Motors was putting out. They gave you protection in case you were in an accident. They were luxurious. A lot of people don't want the little cars. They bought the little cars. They got them from Toyota. There was an organized effort to put out poor quality cars by General Motors, but that was part of a long-range plan. If you don't know that they were intentionally having General Motors build inferior cars, not that there was anything wrong with the gas guzzlers, but they had suddenly built-in depreciation, so they gave out 100,000 miles. Your Toyota would go a couple hundred, 300,000 miles. If you've never heard our interviews called The New Order of the Barbarians, The New Order of the Barbarians, interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who in 1969 heard the whole story laid out, how we were going to start building much less efficient and effective cars in the United States so we could transfer our manufacturing to the Orient, to Japan and other countries. And ladies and gentlemen, everything is long-range plan to destroy the United States. There really are people who hate our country because they worship a different God. They're tied up into this whole brotherhood of darkness we talk about. You need to get my talk on the brotherhood of darkness of the book, my talk on the forbidden secret and or the syllabus that goes with that, the talk on the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that. Certainly, let me suggest some of the other things that we're offering, the new DVD by Pat Wood on the Trilateral Commission, who really runs the world in both political parties and the presidency. Pat Wood, the Trilateral Commission, a very good talk, the talk he gave at our conference last October. You'll certainly want to get the DVDs on the secret mysteries, they are very, very professionally done on the origin of America. And the secret societies, yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies here. They leave their emblems in plain sight, and you don't recognize them. You see the screen on your television set for CBS. You see the little eye down in the right lower quadrant there. That's the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. You see them on the back of the dollar bill, of the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. And, of course, even the eagle is there. Originally, it was a phoenix. They gradually, over the years, evolved it from the phoenix to the eagle. And if you want that, we've got information on my Encyclopedia Americana. It tells you how they did it. Why did they put a phoenix on the Great Seal of the United States? Because America was to be the new Atlantis. The ancient civilization of Atlantis, if it ever existed. But if it existed, of course, it was destroyed by a great flood. But, of course, there was to be a new Atlantis, and that was to be the United States. It was to lead the whole world into a one-world government. And that's why we have our troops in 130 nations throughout the world. Why do we have our troops all throughout the world and major bases throughout the world? And why are we fighting in the Middle East today? And Obama, I thought he was going to get us out of the war. He's expanding the war in Afghanistan and expanding the war into Pakistan. And probably very soon we'll be at war with Iran. Why are we doing these things? It is all part of this plan to bring about a world government, and behind that are the powerful spiritual forces that are energizing this. If you've not seen Pastor Billy Crone's 10 DVD series on the final countdown, June commented on this from Carmel, they are excellent, excellent video clips, excellent sermon, pardon me, and, of course, excellent scriptural passages to understand what's going on. We carry the book, The Final Countdown. We carry the CDs, Countdown to Armageddon. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our website, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to us 9 hours a day on the satellite feed. And then, of course, if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. But please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and our protection until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.